and welcome to the Sports Fathers, episode number 42, recorded on March the 5th, 2015. The best all-time NHL captains. In this episode, we talk just about that. Father Jeffrey and myself talk about the best NHL captains in the various eras of the NHL. What are your thoughts? Are we correct? Listen on and find out. All that coming up next. And hello, everyone. Happy Lent. I'm Father Daryl Millette in snowy Watson, Saskatchewan. I was going to say snowy and cold, but it's actually warming up. It got all the way up to minus 8 degrees Celsius today. So happy about that. It is March already, and yes, we are in the season of Lent, preparing for Easter. And as a result of that, it tends to be a very busy time for priests around the world. And so I've only got one other priest joining me this evening, Father Jeff Young in St. Front, Saskatchewan. Hello, Father Jeff.
Hello, Father Darrell. How are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing all right. Lent is busy, but it's also a very good time. So lots to do, lots of excitement happening. How are you?
Well, pretty good. I'm just kidding. Yeah, I guess Lent is already second week or so, and I had a bit of a hockey injury that I'm recovering from that. So
hockey injury? Did you get in a fight or something?
Yeah. No, nothing dramatic. I twisted my ankle and went into the boards, so it was a sprain. But I'm done for the season, and they're putting me on injured reserve, so they have more salary cap space. So yeah.
Well, this is, oddly enough, this is an apt topic because we're both Calgary Flames fans, and the Calgary Flames recently suffered the loss of their captain, Mark Giordano, for the rest of the season. Got to have surgery on his, elbow or something like that?
Torn bicep muscle. Yeah. So it's a pretty brutal, he went to play the puck, and the guy kind of went to lift his stick and kind of torn his forearm or whatever. So yeah, it's tough to lose him for the season, but the Flames seem to be so far soldiering on and finding ways to win. So that's good.
Absolutely. Well, you know, this is basically what I wanted to talk about today. Because it has been Lent and I've been away for a few weeks before Lent, I have been a little bit out of the loop as far as the most up-to-date topics in the world of sports. I know the trade deadline recently happened in the NHL. I have been watching a little bit of the men's curling here in Canada, the Brier, and our team from Saskatchewan's doing well, so we're pleased about that. And a whole bunch of other news stories that I'm sure we'll talk about in a future episode. I know Father Corey, who's often on this show, has been following the beginning of spring training in Major League Baseball. That's already underway. Hard to believe it was minus 40 here yesterday and down south they're doing spring training for baseball, but I'm sure we'll get into all that stuff coming up soon. But instead, what I'd like to talk about today is one of those long time, hotly debated topics that hockey fans the world over like to discuss and debate like crazy, usually over a pint or two. And that is the best all-time, in this case, we'll talk about all-time captains. Mark Giordano, the captain of the Flames, is hurt, so I figured why not talk about great captains in the past. So great captains before we were born, great captains that we grew up watching, and the great captains that are playing now. So let's get right into it. All right. So first of all, let's go back into history, back into the past. And as we talk about this, I'm going to sprinkle in. I put a question out on social media, Facebook and Twitter, asking for our listeners to state what their favorite captains were all time. And so we got a number of responses. So as we go through this, I'll also share some of the responses that we've received. But first of all, let's look at captains before we were born. So I know this is going to totally give away our ages here, but I was born in the late 70s, and Father Jeff, you were born a little bit after that.
Yeah, 1985.
Or maybe a lot after that. Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
Yes, the same year that Marty McFly went traveling in his silver DeLorean.
Exactly. I'm still looking to buy a DeLorean, but can't find many of them. The DMC company or whatever, DeLorean Motor Company.
Yeah, and finding one that could still hit 88 miles an hour might be a challenge too. But anyway, so
put it in front of a train and it can happen. Yeah.
All right, so let's look at captains. I guess basically before we were born. So going through at least the 70s and prior. Now, Father Jeff, do you have a captain that immediately comes to mind as possibly the best in that era before we were born?
Well, I probably didn't have it until recently when I was kind of reading a bit more about John Belleville. And first of all, he was captain for the Habs, which is really the strongest hockey franchise in history, and all the Stanley Cups and the legacy. And not only that, but he was captain for over a decade, which is remarkable in their team history. No one else has really served that long. And but just kind of hearing about his leadership, like that's quite a very, he was a genteel man, very honorable, good man, and was well loved by everyone. And he would spend hours, I guess, handwriting letters back to fans and people. And so he was just, you know, they had good teams, but they also loved their leader. So I think he was probably. It's pre-70s we're talking. I would say John Belleville seems to be probably the greatest old-time captain that I can think of as a leader. Not necessarily the most points, but the greatest captain. Yeah.
Well, and it's hard to argue with the success. I think he won, five or six Stanley Cups as captain. Yes. He got 10 overall as a player. But it's hard to argue with that kind of success. And you know, just throwing it out on the social media, as far as the old-time captains, he's far and away the most mentioned, you know, on Twitter. Actually, kind of a funny response from Richard. He said, John Beliveau, and then he says, everyone else is tied for second, and then Alexei Yashin is last, as far as the top captains ever. That was good.
Oh, speaking of great captains, I should have mentioned my second cousin there, Laurie Boschman, the first and the greatest captain in Ottawa Senators history. He's my second greatest.
But there were a few people who mentioned Jean Beliveau. Oh, hey, I see my brother Steven just posted as well, and he also said Beliveau. But yeah, that seems to be a common one. I fully agree with it. You know, he just passed away a short while ago, and a lot of really good comments said about him. Other captains that come to my mind, I mean, Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe. Saskatchewan's own Mr. Hockey, Gordie Howe.
Floral Saskatchewan.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
Actually smaller than St. Francis, Saskatchewan, if you can believe it.
Wow, that's pretty good. That gets a golf clap. Yeah, you can't argue with Gordie Howe. I mean, when he's got a hat trick named after him, you know he left a legacy on the game. You know, the Gordie Howe hat trick, a goal, assist, and a fight.
Yeah. No, it's my first thought was Gordie Howe, just because he's the greatest player ever to play hockey. But then I had to look up, because I was actually thinking, I remember seeing some documentaries or movies about him, and I don't recall him ever really being captain too much in Detroit later on. So I guess he was just 5 years as captain in Detroit, even though he played many, many years there, many great years. Like Ted Lindsay was at one point, of course, captain in the old days. And
That should be another one on the list, too.
But then how was like huge when in the WHA, like with the in Texas there, and he was the leader of the championship there. And so he's kind of quite an interesting fellow. But I got a story about meeting Gordie Howe, actually. I think I told you already, but when I was a little kid, he was at the mall in Saskatoon signing autographs, and we were waiting there for hours, and my mom had some sort of hockey sheet with pictures of him on it that was supposed to get signed. Eventually we got up to the front, and I was so bored, out of my mind, distracted, I didn't realize it was our turn. And he just kind of, Gordie Howe just kind of like said, hey, you bonehead, get over here. And at first I didn't know who this old fart was, and I'm just like 4 years old or something, so I was quite emotionally traumatized by Gordy Howe insulting me. But anyways, it's kind of cool now that I got called bonehead by probably the greatest NHL player ever. So that life has just been downhill since then.
Yeah, there we go. That explains a lot.
Yeah.
I'd say Mr. Hockey should be on that list. Richard. Maurice Rocket Richard. Just legendary as well. First 50-goal scorer.
Is he known as, though, one of the greater captains? Or like, I can't remember how many years he served us. Not so long for... he didn't serve as long as I thought, actually, for the Habs as captain. I think it was more... the other Richard, that was the main guy.
Yeah, his brother, Henri.
Henri, yes. Yeah.
Who also won a pile of Stanley Cups, too.
Oh, yeah. Jeez. It's incredible. Those eras, those decades there.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they only had six teams, but...
Only had six teams. Yeah, how many did Toronto win in those years?
Ooh, yeah. Yeah.
They still managed to miss the playoffs.
Who else? So if we're talking about captains before we were born, to go into the 70s. Now, I know for some listeners that might be kind of off-putting that we're talking about old-time captains in the 70s.
Yeah.
Who
would you pick?
Well, Bobby Clark, I think, would be one of the guys that comes to mind. Just as far as playing with heart, he played with diabetes. I didn't realize that he had diabetes throughout his entire career and played with heart. I think that's a big, his Stanley Cups and whatever. That was he was a big part of those teams, just playing with heart, tenacity.
Yeah. I guess the only guy I can really think of in the 70s is Bobby Clark, but I'm not too familiar with those times. Like, I think, what is it? The late 70s going into the 80s, the Islanders started to come on strong. And so that would be Dennis Potvin. But yeah, I think he's more the 80s, isn't he? But he's typically listed as one of the greatest captains and good hockey guy altogether. Yeah.
And I mean, this is obviously there was another dynasty in the 70s, the late 70s, with the Montreal Canadiens. And I'm just blanking right now on who that captain was. It wasn't Lafleur, I don't believe.
No,
it's Cornwallier, of course. Yvon Cornwallier.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, again, this is one of those things. It's hard to argue with success. Mm-hmm. When you win four straight. And then, I mean, of course, part of that dynasty goes into after I was born. So I don't know if it really counts into this category. It does for you.
Mm-hmm.
As I suppose.
Yeah, like this. Basically, you know, the only measure ultimately for the leaders are whether they win. And then also the winning gives them the experience they can build on it each year. Right. So like, that's how, you know, we'll talk more modern day guys, but you talk about like what the experience the LA Kings have from Doughty and all the leadership there because of their playoff history or Chicago, but it makes it so much easier when they're down and out to tough it through against a more inexperienced team. So yeah. I think with the Habs in the 70s, even 80s to the early 90s there, they were dominant too. You just got such great leadership. Really for 50 years, they were exceptional. So,
yeah. And then they won the cup in 93 and they ruined it for the rest of the Canadian teams, apparently, because no other Canadian teams won it since.
Yeah. Crazy Patrick Waugh beat my Flames or our Flames in 86. And then, 93 was not so shabby either, but,
Yeah.
It was the jinx. It was the Waugh jinx, I think. Once Montreal they parted on not so good terms. That I think that was the curse of Canada.
Yeah. Oh, that's what it was.
That's my theory, but
that cold December day in what was it, 1995?
Pull the poor goalie, mercy pull.
Nine goals on Patrick Waugh, and they wouldn't pull him, and embarrassed him in front of the forum. Yeah, well, let's talk about then the captains as we were growing up. So I guess we're talking here mainly the 80s and the 90s. Now, I will say this. When I put the message out onto Facebook and Twitter, a number of people said a certain guy who... Who was an Oiler, and then he was a King, and then he was a Blue, and then he was a Ranger.
Was he a Moose, or was he not a Moose?
He was an Indianapolis Racer, I think, at one point, too, in the WHA.
Yeah.
There's some photos of him wearing Cooperalls. So this is Wayne Gretzky. So Anissa says Wayne Gretzky. Zach, who was on the... check it out, by the way. Zach Tucker is a seminarian, and he's on another... mini series we're doing here on the Sports Fathers called Soccer Trunks. Check that out over at thesportsfathers.com. But anyway, he says Gretzky. Lynn says Gretzky. Let's see. Check my Twitter there. I think there were some Gretzkys on there too. So anyway, so Gretzky definitely comes up.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Gretzky would be on my list if the list was a list of the greatest players who happen to be captains. But this list is not that. This list is the greatest captains who happen to be pretty good players, right?
Yes.
So Gretzky, I'm going to do some research here while we're talking, but I'm pretty sure, was he captain ever when the Oilers actually won the Stanley Cup? Because it was always Messier, yes. I believe.
No, I believe Messier. It was Wayne Gretzky, because I remember footage of him actually picking up the cup. You know, and I remember hearing stories of like some of the hockey commentators were wondering if he'd, you know, because he was not the largest player, and that Stanley Cup apparently is pretty heavy. So whether he'd be able to hang on to it, obviously he did just fine. Got really good at it actually, but he was.
Let me look here.
He was certainly captain in LA as well. So. Anyway, Gretzky was definitely a common one on there. But, you know, you mentioned Messier, and I think as far as, like, raw leadership goes, he's got to be near the top of the list, I think, for when we were growing up. Like, just the way that he willed the 1994 New York Rangers to the victory. And I know this is going to disappoint Vancouver Canucks fans, but oh well. I'm a Flames fan, so I don't really feel too badly about that. But... Mark Messier, I just remember that one game. It was game 6 in the conference finals. They're playing against New Jersey, and they were down 3-2 in the conference finals. So they basically need to win to force a game 7 or they're done. And Mark Messier guaranteed, and this was in the paper, headlines in the paper, Mark Messier guaranteed that they would win game 6, and they won game 6. But not only did they just win game 6. So in game 6, New Jersey was up 2-0 after 2 periods. Then Mark Messier sets up a goal, so he gets an assist. And then he scores a natural hat trick, including the empty net at the end, for a 4-2 victory. So he not only like guaranteed it and put it in the papers and put himself out there as a leader would do, but he made it happen. Like it was just... That was leadership, I think.
Yeah, so this is my my take on this. I did my research. I was wrong. Okay. I apologize to Oilers fans and Wayne Gretzky because I know he's listening on Thursday night here. I forgot. Okay, there was the Leif Ogolin guy, and then in 83, he stepped down to let Gretzky become captain, and he was captain until 88, and then Messier was for like 4 years or whatever.
Yeah, so he won in 1990. Messier won in 1990,
So this is my thoughts on this.
Okay.
The Oilers team, when Gretzky was captain, was insanely stacked, and it had Wayne Gretzky on it. And Gretzky is the greatest player in the league. And he was captain, yes. But my argument why I think Messi is a greater captain and leader was once Gretzky left Edmonton, and as much as his stand doing everything he could in L.A. and then trying to go everywhere else, he ended up in New York at one point or St. Louis, right? And he was never a champion ever again once he left the city of champions. Messier was able to do that, and he was able actually to lead other guys an a Gretzky-less team, actually, to a championship in New York. And I don't know. There's just something about something with Messi. I think he was actually Gretzky's by far the better player. Messi's a great player, but I think he was actually a stronger captain. But it's just my gut on that. I think Gretzky is so. He's in another world as far as stat. He leads every other category ever going to be created in the NHL. So I'm going to give this particular race to Messi over Gretzky. But I don't even know if I would. But growing up, the guy I thought was the greatest leader and one of the coolest and the most slick players, that his career kind of got, I don't know, short ended because of injuries and cancer and all that, was Lemieux.
Yes.
Mario Lemieux was kind of the dream leader captain, and I think that actually he'd be the top of my list.
Yeah.
So I would probably rank it like Lemieux, Messier, Gretzky is top three of that kind of era. But I think Lemieux might rank as one of the greatest, if not the greatest player. And he had a lot of back problems, and he had, I think, what did he have, leukemia or something, or cancer at one point?
Yeah, Hodgkin's disease at one point.
Hodgkin's, and if he would have had a full, 18, 20-year season career, I think it's him, Howell, and Gretzky as the greatest players ever. But
he was loads of talent. And, they did win very convincing Stanley Cups in 91 and 92. So.
Yeah. And a young captain. He was our young captain too. That's what's amazing. As opposed to, other cases, eh? Like your Messi was later in his career as when he started and when he won his championships too. But it's an interesting thought, but who did you have in mind? You're thinking Gretzky as well, or
actually, no, I wasn't. This is very controversial, but no, I wasn't. I was thinking two other guys. Played predominantly in the 90s and I guess into the 2000s. One of them was mentioned quite a bit. Actually, both of them were mentioned on the my little post there on Facebook. But Joe Sakic, Colorado Avalanche, absolutely one of the classiest and one of the best leaders I think we've seen. And another guy right up there, same kind of class, same kind of Steve Yzerman. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know what? I'm changing my list.
All right.
I wasn't thinking these guys. I was thinking that was more modern era. But now if you're using Yzerman and Sakic, okay. I think it's now probably Lemieux, and then it's probably Yzerman, Messi, Sakic. I would say is the top ones. And Wayne Gretzky, you can get honorable mention. Okay, but Yzerman is for me. Not only is he the quintessential captain, he's a champion, repeat champion. He led them when the team sucked. He led them when they were good. He loved them when they sucked again, and then when they were good again. And not only that, the one thing I respect the most is that, like him and Sakic, is they played their whole career with one team.
Yes. And Sakic,
they didn't move to Hollywood for a movie career or something like that.
Right. And they, like you said, they started when their teams were awful. Sakic starting on the Quebec Nordiques. At a time when Eric Lindros didn't want to go to the team, when he was drafted, he didn't want to go to Quebec.
Yeah. Irony of that, and that turned into Peter Forsberg, which by far was the superior player than Lindros in a career. So, I made a little dig at Gretzky there, but he's not sticking with his team. But anyways, But I respect the idea, like a franchise player, and I think you lead by example, and then by committing to that, other guys are willing sometimes even to make a little less money or take different roles, but be part of a winning team, which it starts with the captain. It's not just, they're not just in it for themselves. Right?
Yeah. One guy had actually, I don't know if he was, if I'd put him at the same skill level as Sakic and Yzerman, although he's way better than me, but it would be Scott Stevens.
Stevens and Ray Bourque were the other two. Ray Bourque was another monster captain in that 90s period and champion too, but sadly never with the Bruins, eh? But,
no. That was really cool to see that he won his cup though finally. And getting back to Sakic, when Ray Bourque, they finally won the cup there, what was it, 2000, 2001? So Sackett picks up the Stanley Cup from Gary Bettman, from the commissioner, and immediately hands it over to Ray Bourque. I mean, that just total class, absolute class. But of course, a few seasons prior to that, when the Red Wings won, and Konstantinov, of course, had been seriously injured, paralyzed basically in a car accident. Immediately after Yzerman picks up the cup, he goes over to the wheelchair where Konstantinov was and presents him the cup. So both of those guys just class through and through.
Oh, sure. And I just find that they're, you can see that now, like Yzerman's doing a strong manager too for the Lightning. And, you know, you kind of just see how they're just pure, good old Canadian hockey, guys, and they're just they're pretty exceptional, and I especially respect franchise players. And my only I pray every night, I hope Ginla someday will come back and end his career with the Flames. Once he's chased to the playoffs and Stanley Cup with the Colorado Avalanche, come back to Calgary. But who knows? But we're doing good. But my favorite player growing up was Darren Fleury, and I think it was a great tragedy that he wasn't really allowed to at least play a game or so at the end here. He actually played in the preseason this and did very well, and didn't get a chance to kind of end his career as a.
Yeah, it's nice when you can have that franchise thing. I'd love a Ginla to come back home to Calgary, but yeah, that's speaking my bias, I guess. That, and I've got a really nice picture hanging up in my living room right now of a Ginla in his Flames stuff.
Yeah, mine's in a box in the garage right now. So okay. I'm not going to put him back up.
I'm holding out hope. Yeah. Yeah. This is Lent, but it's also kind of Advent anyway. So that's kind of, I guess, as we're growing up, I guess I was making it the 80s and 90s era there for those captains. But then there are other captains that are playing right now. I forgot to mention one person on Twitter here was also mentioning Chris Chelios. He was captain in Chicago for sure. I don't know if he was he might've been an alternate captain of Canadians.
The Red Wings? Oh, the Canadians? The
Canadians, yeah.
No, I don't think he was ever captain for the Canadians.
He might have been an alternate, but he was definitely captain in Chicago, from what I remember. Now, the Chicago teams of the late 90s weren't terribly great. So I don't know. They were okay.
The Chicago? Yeah. I mean, I don't think Chelios ranks up there with... particularly as a captain, he ranks up as one of the finest defensemen.
Absolutely. And of course, and as I mentioned before, Richard on Twitter, Alexei Yashin is not up there. Mm-hmm. I just laugh at that. That's a good tweet. Well done.
Turtleneck boy, Alexei Yashin there.
All right. So how about the captains who are playing right now? Who do you have on your list?
All right. Yeah, so honorable mentions I'll start with. I think you got John. I think Drew Doughty, because a proven champion twice. And
Drew Doughty. The captain of LA, I think, is Dustin Brown.
Oh, yeah, sorry. Yeah, geez, I forgot he's not even bloody captain. No, I don't like Dustin Brown. He doesn't get on the list. Okay, tough nuggy. Drew Doughty should be the captain.
There we go. So he should be good.
If Coach Sutter is listening, you know, get your he's an assistant, alternate captain.
Yeah,
good point. Yeah, I always forget Dustin Brown, man. He's just a little turd. Anyway,
maybe that's good leadership, though. You don't notice him.
Dishonorable mention is Dustin Brown. Okay, then we're my honorable mentions. My favorite captains are, I think, the top guys right now are. Tavares and Stamkos are honorable mentions, but I think the best by far, in all accounts, is Jonathan Toews in Chicago, just because proven winner, and he's I don't know, he just got something. He's this super Canadian kind of leader. I'm not putting Crosby on the list for some of the same reasons as the Gretzky thing. I don't found that as his team was getting better, his, you know, sure, they were winning, but I don't necessarily find them, I don't find him in the same echelon leader as Taves, but I don't know why that is. Maybe it's bias against really, really talented guys. Getting the captaincy so early, eh? Like, it's sort of sometimes that I find that's, they give it not to necessarily the leader, but to the most talented guy, and that's not always best. But I think it was somewhat same with Taves, but I think they kind of waited longer with him. I'm not sure. I'd have to look up the ages when they became captains. But yeah. Anyways, what do you think? Well, what are your thoughts on that?
The only knock I would have against Taves was in the playoffs there when he was kind of, I don't know how you'd describe it, in a bit of a funk for a little bit, and he kind of had to get snapped out of it. But I guess that's human. That happens to everybody, I suppose. We're priests. I guess we got to love a good redemption story, and that was definitely a redemption story the last time they won the cup there. But you know, on my list, I'm going to say Henrik Zetterberg.
Okay.
And right now, I'm going to put Ryan Getzlaff on there. But dark horse would be a John Tavares.
Yeah, well, I think Tavares, the way the Islanders are playing this year, I think they're going to be solid in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And, he's at every level, like junior level and world juniors and Canadian team, and now with the Islanders, like he's exceptional. So I think if they ever win the cup, obviously he's going to be skyrocketed. But and a guy like him or Stamkos there, first is you know, the proven winner. But
that's a fair comment. I mean, I guess, you know, Zetterberg has one as well.
Mm-hmm.
And Getzlaff. So
yeah, you know who a guy is, actually, I'm just looking at NHL, the NHL network, and they listen in the top 10 all the time. One of the guys that came up here, which I was kind of interested in, the modern guy in 10th, is Shane Doan.
Yep.
Which he's a good Western Canadian boy. And I talk about being a happy warrior for so many years with the, what you want to call them, Coyotes. And he is an exceptional leader and just a fine guy too. But knock on him, of course, is they hadn't had much postseason success. But Doan has been a hallmark, basically. I think he's the only captain they've ever had. I'm not positive. I gotta think back.
I couldn't answer that. Although I do remember when he started out as a pretty good rookie with the Winnipeg Jets. So, speaking of the franchise player.
Yeah.
The Jets 1.0, I should say.
Yeah, yeah. No, and he's one of those guys, he's just been faithful to that franchise. And when they go through their bankruptcy, everything, he's like their biggest spokesman. And, you know, he doesn't want to give up on them. So that, like I said, you'll love to follow a leader like that, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah. Good leadership, which I think is, the mark of a really good captain. And a lot of the guys that we've named, I think, gave really good leadership. So we've given a bunch of names to, you know, modern as we were growing up, I guess 80s and 90s. And then before that, is there one name, one captain that you would pick if you were building your team now and they were in their prime? That you would build your team around.
And they're completely healthy.
Yes.
And I'm picking a captain. I'd pick Mario Lemieux. I don't know why. I think he's superhuman.
Yeah. You know, that's fair. That's fair. Oh boy. This is, I mean, I asked the question, it's really a tough question, but I'm going to say if I were to build my team, I would take a healthy Stevie Yzerman in his prime any day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, nothing against that. And frankly, their peers, or Yzerman's a little bit later than Lemieux, but they played pretty much the same amount of years, I think. But Yzerman is he's the guy. And, you know, after some 20 years playing in a team, you could probably put him as a general manager and maybe win a few more Stanley Cups. So
this is
that's
true.
Pretty incredible.
And get him to pick a Canadian national team while he's at it too. An Olympic team.
Yeah.
Cause he picked the last Olympic team, put it together.
Yeah.
All right. So this is now where we turn it over to you, to the listener, because the nice thing about a topic like this is that it can stir up an awful lot of fiery debate. And that's kind of what I'm hoping for here. This is the kind of fun debate that sports fans, I think, love to have. So if you think we are absolutely insane with our choices, head over to thesportsfathers.com. You got our links to Facebook and Twitter and the show notes there. And let us know what your picks are and why you think they are. And if you agree with us, definitely go over to thesportsfathers.com and post your agreement with us. We love to hear that too. Because, yeah, this is one of those questions. I think we're going to do a few more of these sorts of episodes in the future as well. You know, your favorite all-time teams, whatever. In different sports as well, not just hockey, of course. But right now, hockey's on, so I guess we're going with what we know.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And also, you can do remember that you can subscribe to the podcast feed over at thesportsfathers.com. I know a number of people like to listen on the website, but if you have iTunes or some other podcast player, the feeds are over there on the website. And that is, I think, probably the easiest way to listen to the podcast, because then it ends up getting onto your device automatically, basically, as soon as it's released. So head over to thesportsfathers.com, subscribe there. And if you use iTunes, one of the other things that really helps us out a lot, too, is if you want to leave a review of the podcast on iTunes. The more reviews that are left, and hopefully good reviews, but the more reviews that are left, it helps more people find the podcast. So if you like it, head over to iTunes and leave us a review. That would be absolutely awesome. And so with that, I think it's very appropriate that we close with the wonderful catchphrase from Mr. Duct Tape himself, Red Green. Keep your stick on the ice. Have a great Lent, everyone.
Have a good night.